Good morning and welcome to Morning Meditations, a 5 to 10 minute meditation to get you thinking about what God might have for you in this new day. I'm your host, Pastor Nate Cook, so we hope you'll enjoy your meditation for this morning. Hey, this is Pastor Nate, and this is your morning meditation for this morning. So today we're going to read from Revelation, and our passage is supposed to be Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 through 17, but I'm going to read the whole chapter because it doesn't make near as much sense if you don't hear what's right before it. It says, "After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. 'Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God.' Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel." And it goes through and says 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. I'm going to jump down to verse 9. "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Now here's the part we were supposed to read for today. "All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever.'" Excuse me, this is where we were supposed to start. "Then one of the elders asked me, 'Those in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes. They have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him night and day in this temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So yeah, this passage is part of a book called The Revelation. The Revelation is well known by many people, and many people use it as some kind of prediction tool for what's going to happen at the end of the world. The type of literature it is, apocalyptic, is not typically used that way, although we have often used it that way. It's more of a book that is written, it does predict some future events, but it's written to people in a real life setting. And so John the Revelator is writing to the church, the early church. And many of the images you see of like the beast and Babylon the Great are simply referring to Rome. The beast is often thought to be Caesar, Nero Caesar. And so first and foremost, most theologians these days, and I will say most, not all, understand this book to be written to a specific group of people, the early church, about the end of all things in language that's very symbolic and not predicting events in our time necessarily. And so when I tell people that, they often get frustrated with me because many people love the exercise in trying to figure out what every little piece of the Revelation is saying. And this is one of those where you can see in the passage we read, there are these 144,000. So there are whole groups of people that believe that's all that will be in heaven. But one of the things we need to understand is in chapter 5 of Revelation, there has already been this picture of the one who is worthy to open the seals. And it is It is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But when he looks, he hears the lion. But when he looks, what he sees is a slaughtered lamb. So there's kind of this expectation of one thing, and it's undercut by something different. That's in chapter 5. Well, in chapter 7, he hears this idea of 144,000. He hears that. But what he sees is, again, something different. So it's like the expectation is what he hears in Revelation. And read chapter 5 if you want to see this. And then in chapter 7, he hears 144,000. But what he sees is something different, a great multitude that no one could count. And it's not just from the tribes of Israel, from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. It is the picture of all those who have come into the kingdom through Jesus Christ, Jews and Gentiles alike, from every nation, tribe, and tongue. It's what we saw the beginning of at Pentecost, when there were people in Jerusalem from all over the world, and people in all kinds of languages heard the gospel preached. This is the culmination of that. And so he heard one thing, again, he heard the 144,000 from just the tribes of Israel, but what he sees is this, something very different. It's a whole multitude that no one can count, and it's people from all over the world. And so our passage was supposed to say, who are these people? Those in the white robes. And it says, sir, you know, they're the ones who've come out of the great tribulation. And here we go again. People have made a whole theology out of this great tribulation. They've made rapture theology and all kinds of things. The Great Tribulation is literally the war, famine, all these things, death, that happen to us all the time. And this little section that we're reading is right after the day of the Lord. So that is kind of when the culmination of all things, that is when judgment will come. That is, it's the big day in all of history, especially in apocalyptic literature. And so it's those who have made it through, but how have they done it? Through the blood of the Lamb. And so it's this great multitude that has become part of the kingdom through Jesus Christ, and it's people from every tribe and tongue and language. And we focus on that word tribulation so much that we miss all the good stuff. They are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in this temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I just want to say today, if we would focus on that instead of words like the great tribulation in Revelation, we would find this text to be much more life-giving. Never again will they hunger, never will they thirst. He will shelter them with his presence. There will be this kind of living water welling up within them. And Jesus said that is something that we can receive even now. Living water that wells up even to eternal life. And then what heaven becomes is what we already get a taste of now. The old hymn said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We can taste this life-giving presence, this living water. We don't have to hunger and thirst and always be distraught because Christ's presence is continually with us. We can taste that now. But in this final day, it will be fully known. So today, I just want to encourage you, begin to taste the living water of Christ, knowing that when Christ comes, you will receive it in all its fullness. Don't get so caught up in the numbers or the word tribulation that you miss out on the life that God wants to give you right now and eventually in the new heaven and the new earth. Hey, that's just a thought for this morning, and I hope you have a great day. Well, thanks again for joining us for this morning meditation. Hey, do us a favor, rate us on iTunes or even leave some feedback about our podcast so that other listeners can know how much you enjoy your morning meditations. Hey, have a great day.